have a really great lieutenant governor who makes you look good, and a whole bunch of really terrific cabinet secretaries.
Shouldn't have done it.
A whole bunch of really terrific cabinet secretaries and staff.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker is going to hang it up. The two-term Republican and his lieutenant governor, Karen Pulido, say they will not run for re-election next year. That throws open what had already been a competitive race for governor. We'll start with WAMC Berkshire Bureau Chief Josh Landy's roundup of reaction from candidates in the race, and then I'll speak with Matt Murphy of Statehouse News about Baker's decision and his legacy.
Baker and Pulido were first elected in 2014 and swept into their second term with almost 65% of the vote 4 years later. At a Boston press conference, Pulido framed the move as a response to the COVID-19 pandemic.
Having thought about this a lot, we thought about the year and a half that we've lived through, thinking about the year ahead, and very much desire to focus our time and our energy on the communities and the people and the economic recovery that this state needs and deserves. Rather than campaigning and all of the difficulty that comes with a task like that, having done this several times ourselves, it's very important for the people of this Commonwealth to get our full attention, our energy, and our team's attention.
There is a ton of work that's left to be done as we come out of this pandemic to rebuild, recreate, reimagine many of the things that were busted during the course of all this. And we believe it's most important that we spend the next year focusing on that and not focusing on, let's call it the discourse, and that's probably an insult to the word discourse, that comes with political campaigning.
Baker said the administration's priority now is to focus on effectively using the almost $9 billion Massachusetts received in American Rescue Plan Act funding.
For all of us, especially as we think about the next year, to the extent I'm going to be present, I want to be present thinking about how we're going to make sure kids get the in-person education that they need, how we make sure we continue to help our communities find their way back from this pandemic, and how we're going to make it possible for the many people in Massachusetts whose jobs disappeared with the pandemic and have never really come back, find the credentials and skills they need to be successful going forward. I don't want it to be spent thinking about a whole bunch of other things.
Baker was asked if the state's unwritten rule about governors not seeking a third term factored into their decision to step down.
No, I mean, we talked pretty seriously about this. I mean, we gave it a lot of attention. And the fact that it seems for the most part to be one or two wasn't really, I mean, the pandemic creates a whole new dynamic, at least I think in this particular context, for making that decision. And from our point of view, the way the pandemic, I had a bunch of people say to me, well, the reason you should run for a third term is because pandemic. I actually think just the opposite, which is why we're here today with the decision that we've made. We believe the pandemic means we really ought to just focus on the work and get it done. There should be an urgency associated with what needs to happen here in Massachusetts.
Baker denied claims by Massachusetts Republican Party Chairman Jim Lyons that he had been shaken by former President Trump's October endorsement of gubernatorial candidate Jeff Deal.
Every race I've ever entered, I entered because I believed I would be the best person to do the job and had the best plan on how to get it done. No, not shaken.
But did that factor in the
no,
party
not at all.
In
nope, not at all. Which part of no? No, not at all. And I'm really looking forward to focusing on the work.
A centrist, the governor has openly criticized Trump, further distancing himself from a state party that has continued to embrace the former president.
I actually think our brand of politics and our approach to politics and both the way we operate and how we work with people and how we choose to focus on issues over personalities and motive stand apart from a lot of the bipartisan noise that's created in politics generally these days and amplified by social media platforms and all sorts of other people who are jockeying for attention. The fact that it exists and I've said this before, and so has the Lieutenant Governor, I believe is to the detriment of what we seek to achieve here. And I would argue that the way we've operated has a lot to do with why the voters of Massachusetts think we've done a really good job for 7 years.
Baker did not answer a question about whether he'll endorse Deal or another Republican in the 2022 election. Neither the governor nor Polito responded to a question about their future plans after leaving office, but Baker laughingly ruled out a run for president. Reporting from the WAMC News Berkshire Bureau at the Beacon Cinema, I'm Josh Landes.
Okay, now let's get to my conversation with Matt Murphy of State House News.
Thanks for having me.
Was Baker's decision a surprise?
I think it could have gone either way for the governor. He really had been wrestling it with the decision. People around him would tell you from one day to the next they thought he was leaning one way, the next maybe in a different direction. I think the real surprise yesterday was the fact that they did this announcement as a pair, and Lieutenant Governor Karen Polito also deciding not to run for governor, not to seek that one next step up the ladder and seek to replace Charlie Baker and carry on the legacy of this administration. It really opened up the field for the 2022 race on both the Republican and the Democratic side by taking this whole administration out of the picture for the next cycle.
Before we talk about 2022, just one more thing on Baker. He, in this press conference, seemed to suggest that they were much more interested in doing the policy than the politics that would come with another campaign. Was that the message that you took away from that press conference?
Yeah, really, what you heard from the governor yesterday was the work, the work, the work, the work. That's what his people were trying to reinforce even after the press conference ended. The governor saying that his decision boiled down to the fact that they thought the best use of their time would be focused on helping Massachusetts continue to recover from the pandemic and not get bogged down in what would have been a time-consuming and potentially bruising campaign, both in a Republican primary and a general election, and it would have sucked up a lot of their attention for most of the year. Now, the pair also cited family considerations, wanting to be around for their families after 8 years of running the state. Karen Polito talked about the nighttime bed routines and the weekend sports events that she has missed for her kids, who are now both in high school. They're in elementary school when she started. And the governor also talked about the ugliness of politics these days and how campaigns can devolve. He mentioned the word discourse in the political arena, and he said it may even be an insult to call what passes for debate these days as discourse. But he said those two that factor alone did not contribute to his decision. It was mostly his desire to stay focused on the work.
What about the tradition of Massachusetts governors not going for a third term?
Yeah, I mean, as people look to the governor for this decision, thinking that he would enter a race probably as the front runner and could easily win a third term, it was often overlooked that nobody really does this. No one has tried to do this ever, really. No governor of Massachusetts has ever served 3 consecutive 4-year terms. The last 3-term governor, of course, Michael Dukakis, those were non-consecutive terms that he served. And the governor's predecessors, including his political mentors, all left in the middle of their second terms. So the fact that the governor was wrestling with signing up for another 4 years maybe should have been a story in and of itself. It's a big commitment. The governor has also run 3 campaigns in a row. He lost his first one, won the next 2, and the prospects of a fourth didn't appeal to him or Karen Polito at this time.
So the soundbite we heard earlier was Governor Baker responding to a question about the role of Jeff Deal in the primary field for next year. He's backed by former President Trump and comes from the right of Baker. Who else could emerge on the Republican side now that both Baker and Polito will not be running for governor?
That's an excellent question. And I think, the field was basically frozen waiting for the governor's decision, except for someone like Deal, someone willing to run and challenge the governor, someone running from his right in a party and for a base, a Republican base in Massachusetts that has shifted to the right, albeit the Republican Party is still quite small in Massachusetts. We heard yesterday that another former state lawmaker and current mayor of the city of Taunton in Massachusetts, Shauna O'Connell, may be considering, and there's definitely space for another Republican to step in. But some political analysts look at this race and see that it could be a difficult path to chart with Deal in the race, someone who has run statewide and someone who appeals to the base of the party. This could be Jeff Deal's nomination to lose at this point. The question is, how does he run now and how does he stack up in a general election against whoever emerges on the Democratic side?
And we should talk about the Democrats. There are several who have begun running well before Baker's announcement, but now it seems everyone's waiting to hear what Attorney General Maura Healey will do, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. All eyes on the Attorney General now. And like I said, the governor's decision here didn't just free up the Republican side of this election next year. On the Democratic side, one, it makes the path for Maura Healey that much easier for her to decide to get in. She would face a tough, albeit winnable, but a tough battle against Governor Charlie Baker. She may see this as a more appealing race with him out of the picture. It also opens the door for people like former mayor of Boston and current U.S. Labor Secretary Marty Walsh to take a look at this race. Yesterday, we heard from people close to Secretary Walsh that he was going to take a look at this and think about coming home to run for governor, something he probably never would have done. He is close with Charlie Baker and probably never would have challenged the incumbent should Governor Baker have sought a third term. We're also hearing that maybe that is a less attractive option for the mayor if Healey gets in. So Healey really the linchpin here, but other names starting to float around as well. Maybe some lesser known candidates also taking a look on the Democratic side, seeing that they wouldn't have to take on this very popular incumbent.
Back to Baker for a moment. You know, he said, ask me about my plans and my legacy a year from now. But as we start to wind down the Baker era, how do you look at his legacy over two terms?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we're going to remember some of the disasters that this governor has had to pick his way through. His administration famously started with that winter of 2015. Snowmageddon, we call it around here, when tens and tens of feet, or dozens of feet, were dumped on Massachusetts over the course of a month or so, crippling the T system and really setting the course and the agenda for the governor for years as he sought to rebuild the T, reinforce the infrastructure. He's accomplished quite a bit with the Democratic legislature. They've signed major criminal justice and policing reform legislation. He's brought Massachusetts to the brink of launching a offshore wind industry here, procuring some projects off the coast that could set the state up for clean energy moving into the future. And he's also had, his share of issues like any governor. Notably, at the start of this pandemic, the situation in the Holyoke Soldiers Home, where 76 veterans died due to some decisions made by management at the home, really threw into question his management of that facility. So, some ups and downs, as with any governor. But I think what we heard yesterday from both Democrats and Republicans is they appreciated this governor's approach to governing, his willingness to listen, work across the aisle, and work with other people. And I think he'll be remembered as someone who was able to get quite a bit done.
Matt, thank you, as always, for taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you.
All right, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.